Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
All right, praise the Lord. So I am going to round up my teaching for the month of February. Last week, I began to talk about the 22 immutable laws of relationships. The 22 immutable laws of relationships. And I told you that how those principles came about. I'll just reiterate it for those. I'm going to rush through some of it because I already taught a whole bunch of it last week. So I won't go in depth. It's the subject of a book of mine that is coming out very soon. How did this principle come about? I mean, as you all know, one of the things I love to do is I love to find out how things work. And, you know, over the years of, you know, relationships, you know, starting from family relationships, moving to friendship, over the years, one of the things that God has always emphasized to me and taught me about was relationships. And I began to ask myself the question that are relationships just haphazard? Are there some things we can do to make sure that our relationships are harmonious and that they are productive? Are there some laws? And I began to study books from a very early age, began to study the Bible, and in doing that, I was able to put everything together on under 22 principles. And that is what I started sharing last week, and that's what I want to share with people generally in the body, you know, in different places through the book that is coming out, the 22 Immutable Laws of Relationships. When you follow these laws, they are scriptural laws. When you follow them, when you practice these principles, you will influence people. You will have, not that your relationships will be perfect, right? But you will have some very good relationships. So please follow me. Look at them. Apply them to your life. It's God's word. God's word teaches us how to live lives that will glorify His name. And since we're focusing on that this month, let's do it. Okay? So I'm going to run through them. The first five laws, I think I've shared some of them with you. They deal with the importance of relationships. The importance of relationship. I would say the importance of relationship. So they are categorized. So they have different focus. I categorize them into three parts. The first part deals with the importance of relationship. And the first one is the non-isolation principle. Everybody say non-isolation principle. So the non-isolation principle simply says life must be shared. Everybody say life must be shared. Your purpose cannot be fulfilled in isolation. So you have to link up with people. And the scripture for that is Genesis 2 verse 18. Don't forget that we already went through this thing. So Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good that man, so humanity, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So the Creator says it's not a good thing if you are alone with nobody around, with nobody to assist you, nobody to help you. So the Creator who made us is telling us that relationships are crucial for the life of the man he created. That this man is going to need some assistance. And remember, we're created for a purpose. So we're going to need assistance in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. So that's the reason why you cannot be a lone ranger. You were not created to be a lone ranger. You were created to work with people. You were created to know people. You are created to develop relationships. You are created to be in a company. You are created to have friends. You are created to work. You are created to work with a family. You are created to be part of a body. You are created to work with people. So anybody that says, I want to be a Lone Ranger, you already limited yourself because your creator who made you already said that it's not good. Even he does not walk alone. The Bible tells us about the Trinity. And he said, when he wanted to create man, he said, let us make man in our own image. He didn't say, let me. So the spirit of scripture is that horse spirit. So that's that law. So the law tells us that you must of necessity look for people and watch out for the people that God brings across your path, because you are going to need people to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Is that clear? Today I'm going to run because I've already taught some of this thing. Number two. The second one is what I call the partnership principle. Still talking about the importance of relationship. And the partnership principle simply says that relationships will multiply your efforts. Relationships will multiply your efforts several fold. Great relationships will add pleasantness and power to your life. You get to do more with others when you are walking in unity. And the scripture for that, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says, two are better. Everybody say after me, say two are better than one. So one is good, right? But two are better because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10. Roll with me. Verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what he's saying there is that relationships have a way of multiplying your efforts, of multiplying what you do, and helping you to stand strong and to withstand whenever you face challenges. They told us that when a lion wants to kill one of the prey, when they are in a pack, it usually just, it doesn't attack them. But when one wanders away from the pack, the lion finds it easy to pounce on that one and just kill it. So, being in a pack, being in relationships strengthens you. It helps you to be able to withstand things. If you are married in this place, being with other couples, talking with other couples, sharing your struggles with other couples, sharing your testimonies with other couples will strengthen your marriage. If you are in a relationship, yeah, maybe you are not yet married, sometimes you need to have, you know, to go out. I mean, you are preparing to get married, engaged or preparing to get married. You go out with other people who are preparing to get married. You have joint, outings together. You talk about things. If you're single in this place, you're not married, talking with other singles, sharing your struggles with other singles, you will discover that everybody is going through exactly what you're going through. And you find out you're stronger. One of the things that I feel strengthens me as a pastor is that I have so many pastor friends. And I as you see from the Lord, I stay in touch with them. And many times when we talk on the phone, we just laugh at ourselves. In fact, I come back from the conversation, going to the place, feeling that I'm the worst pastor in the world. But when we finish conversing, I say, well, I think you are worse than me. You know, at least it gives me some encouragement. Oh yeah, you mean that is happening? I think I'm enjoying life. Amen. But so we talk. We have accountability partners. We have friends that will share things. I have people that will cry together. Men that will cry together. I have people that will laugh together. We talk about things together. There's just something about linking up with people that brings strength. There's just something about working with people that multiplies the things you do. You know, you can do some things alone, but when you engage other people, in it, the power is multiplied several fold. So that law simply tells you that you should make sure you do more with others. Whatever you are doing, try to do it with somebody. Try to find somebody that can do it with you. You're going to get better results. Somebody say amen if you got that. Number three is the impartation principle. The impartation principle. And I've shared about all this last week, but I'm just going over it. The impartation principle. The impartation principle simply says that you will become like those you closely associate with. You are going to become like those you closely associate with. So, you have to make sure you choose your association wisely. You are becoming. Everybody say, I'm becoming. That's normal. You are becoming something. If you are alive, you are in this world, you are becoming something. So I can tell you what you are becoming. You are becoming like those you are closest to. You are becoming like those you are closest to. Those you are associating with, you are becoming like them. You are becoming like them. If they are on fire, you will catch fire. Amen. If they are very cold people, if you were hot before you know your temperature, your temperature will start to go down. So people influence you. There's an influence that takes place unconsciously when you are interacting with people. The Bible talked about the apostles of Jesus in the book of John chapter 3. That's not part of the scriptures that I gave you, but you can look for it. It says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, then they perceived that they had been with Jesus. They knew that they had been with somebody. They saw them, that these people were not trained in letters, but they were so bold. Then they came to the conclusion that, you know what, these people have been with Jesus. In other words, they were uneducated and untrained. They marveled and realized they had been with Jesus. Who they had been with reflected. Look at it. Who they had been with reflected to other people. Now, who they had been with rubbed on them. And then who they had been with even covered up their lack. Did you get that? They lacked education. They lacked training. But just because they had spent so much time with Jesus, who they had been with covered up their lack. So one of the things I saw there was that I may have some deficit, but if I find somebody who does not have those deficits and I begin to associate with that person, very soon people will start associating me with that wisdom. It will rub on me. Do you get it? It will rub on me. It will rub on me. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says, he that walks with wise people will be wise. He that walks with wise people. Can you, let's do some message translation today. I think it will help in a lot of ways, Become wise by walking what? With the wise. Hang out with fools, and what happens? Watch your life fall to what? To pieces. So if you want your life to fall to pieces, hang out with fools. And the Bible tells us how you will know a fool. The first definition of a fool is what? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if somebody says there is no God, you can never be my close friend. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I can have a relationship with you to influence you. Do you get what I'm saying? To try with a purpose. But you can't be my closest confidant. You can't be all that because you are a fool. Amen? Before you know it, I will also start saying there's no God somehow. It will start rubbing off me. In fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, make no friend, please find it for me, with an angry man, lest you learn his ways. Make no friend with what? With an angry man, lest you learn his ways. Now, that's anger, but he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, do not go. Don't anger with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Amen? So, lest you learn his ways. So, in other words, if people have some character traits that are not in line with the fruit of the Spirit, if you continue to hang out with them, and continue to hang out with them and spend your time with them, they become your closest friend. Before you know it, you're going to start talking like them. You're going to start thinking like them. In fact, there's another one where Paul says that you should have nothing to do with those who cause divisions. He said, have nothing to do with those who cause divisions. So please find it for me. Don't have, there are different kinds of people, right? There are people that add, there are people that subtract, there are people that multiply, and there are people that what? And there are people that divide. So, gauge all your relationships. Are you listening? People that add to you, whenever you are in their presence, you live lifted up, right? People that subtract, so those kind of people, what do you do? You value them. You value those who are to you whenever you are in their presence, right? Now, there are some people who subtract from you. So people who subtract from you, anytime you are in their presence or you talk with them, you feel drained. Before you know it, maybe you were high before in the spirit. The next thing you know is that you are just down. Now, those kind of people, you tolerate them. Amen? Everybody say tolerate them. Because you might help them, you know, by adding something to their lives. Do you get it? So tolerate them, but be very careful. Now, there are those who divide. Someone say those who divide. So whenever you are in their presence, they are talking about another person or talking about other things, talking about other stuff. They are talking about what this person, those kind of people, avoid. Everybody say avoid them. Avoid them. He said, take it from the Amplified. I don't want to use the Amplified. This one said, warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, I have nothing to do with him. Amen? Say, have what? A divisive person. When somebody is dividing, a divisive person, warn them once, warn them twice, and after that, I have nothing to do with them. Reject a divisive person after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So, in other words, be careful. Avoid those who divide. Those who are always talking about other people or talking about them, they're always dividing people. He said, avoid them. Amen. So somebody comes to me and start talking about another person. I say, oh, this person is talking. I move away. You understand? Because I don't want to deal. Now, the last set of people are those who multiply you. Somebody say those who multiply you. Now, so those who multiply are usually mentors and teachers and all that. You spend a moment with them. You spend the next 1 week or the next 2 weeks thinking about the experience or encounter. They push you into new seasons of life. What you do with those people? You celebrate those people. Someone say you celebrate those people. So let's repeat. Say those who add value. Those who subtract, tolerate. Those who divide, avoid. Those who multiply, celebrate them. Celebrate them. Because people are always having influence. They are always having influence on your life. Okay, let's move on because of time. Did you get that? Someone say, I'm becoming like people I'm working with. So choose. So that's why it's called the impartation principle. You are being imparted every day by the people you work closely with. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what Paul said. Please, in evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay. For children, I told you that the thing you need to monitor the most for your children is not whether they are, what they call it, mischievous. Children are always mischievous. You know, whether they are running around throwing things all over the place. Children will always do that. They're going to pass through that stage. You know, you didn't need to pass through that stage. Amen. That's not what you look at. The major thing you must monitor with your children is who they are moving with, who are their closest friends, because that's what they are going to become. If they work with gang members, they will become gang members. If they work with smokers, they will smoke. So that's a major thing you need to monitor. Make sure they have the right influences in their lives, and they will turn out right. Amen? So that's why you have to invite your friends, your children's friends to your house. That's why you have to know their parents. That's why you have to go visit them. You have to know who they are associating with, because that's what they are going to end up becoming. All right? It's a law. Okay? Number four. And I didn't give you this one last week. The witness principle. Everybody say witness principle. The witness principle. The witness principle simply says that the measure of your spirituality is proportional to your ability to relate with people. Relationships are trainers and tests of character. So witness in the sense that how you relate with people witnesses your relationship with God. Do you get it? If you cannot stand people, you can't stand God. Amen. Because God lives in people and God loves people. Do you get it? So if you can't stand people, that means you can't stand God. Pastor Turbo preached a little bit about that earlier in the year. That your love, you know your love by how it is expressed to the person that you least like. Your spirituality, how you are able to relate with people is the true measure of your spirituality. The more spiritual you are, the more you are able to handle people. The more you are able to relate to people. The less spiritual you are, the less you can handle people. So some people that will say, you know what? I don't like people. I just want to be in the presence of God. I can assure you that you are not in the presence of God. You are in the presence of yourself. Amen. Because when you are in the presence of God, it's going to tell you about loving people. It's going to show you about how to deal with people. It's going to teach you about how to reach people. It's going to teach you. It's going to talk to you about how to change, how to be able to change yourself so that you can be a blessing to people. Because God is a people person. That was the first message of this month. God is a people person. Amen. God is building a people. That has always been his desire to build a people, a kingdom. All right. John 13 verse 35 says, John 13 and verse 35 quickly. This is how everyone will recognize. This is the witness principle. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. What? How will they recognize that you are my disciples? When they see the love you have for each other. The recognition of your discipleship, right? Is by the love that you show. It's not by the Bible you carried or how you wave your hands. It's by the love you show to people. That's how people recognize your level, your discipleship, your relationship with Christ. It's through the love that you show. That's the true witness of your relationship with God. That's why I call it the witness principle. Amen. Is that clear, everybody? So don't worry, you know, if you, by the time the book gets out, you'll see many examples and all that. But I'm going to rush through it because I want to make sure I give you everything. Number five, seasons principle. Seasons principle. Seasons principle. Now, the seasons principle simply states that it is through relationships that God opens you up into new seasons of life or new territories in the pursuit of your divine purpose. Satan too. So what this principle is saying is that when God wants to move you into a new season of life, he will arrange a relationship to come into your life. If Satan also wants to destroy you and move you into a new season of life, he will arrange a relationship to come beside you. That's why you always have to be careful to evaluate new relationships. Because every new relationship that you pursue will usher you into a new season of life. Okay? So, when we walk with God, and you're going to see later, if you want a new season, you are praying for something, Lord, a new season in my calling and all that. How is it going to happen? God is going to bring something across you, somebody across your path. God is going to bring somebody across your path. And God is going to use that person to usher you there. And you also have to be careful about Satan, because Satan also always tries to mimic God to bring somebody, and that person ushers you to a new season. You just find that you start seeing new things, you start doing new things. So you got to be careful. You got to evaluate new relationships carefully because they're going to usher you into new seasons. They're going to open up new territories to you. Relationships are territory openers. Someone said territory openers. Instead of praying for territories, you know, pray for the right people, amen, that God has planned, you know. 2 Corinthians 9:8, he said, I will make all grace to abound towards you. Oh, all that. Let's continue the message and say, so that in all, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. In other words, God wants to bless you, wants to, you know, make you have all sufficiency, but the way he does is by making favor available to you. Someone say favor available to me. It's a whole earthly favor and favor. Luke 6:38, the KJV says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall what? Shall men give to your bosom. In other words, you've been given, but then when God wants to do it, he brings men to you to give to you. Amen. So God uses men to push us into new seasons of life. I have some more scriptures, but I'm going to roll on. So those laws that I just gave you have to do with the importance of relationships. So if you meditate on them, you see how important relationships are and how they can transform your life if you engage in the right one. The next set of laws I want to show you, or principles I want to show you, they have to do with initiation of relationship. Now, I believe a lot of people in this place, if not everybody, believe that relationships are crucial. But people don't know how to initiate relationships, so they don't know how, you know, how it works. You know, but we need to know how to do it, because we have different levels. Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts, but we all need relationships. So let's look at some laws regarding the initiation of relationship. The next law is what I call the orchestration principle. Everybody say orchestration principle. Orchestration principle. And it simply says that God arranges divine relationships. Why don't you celebrate God for that? God arranges divine relationships. So pray and trust Him to do so. God is a specialist in bringing people together, in bringing people to you that are necessary for the fulfillment of your life's purpose. Some people don't believe it, especially those who are unmarried. Some people don't believe it, and they put so much effort in trying to find a partner, not knowing that God specializes in matchmaking. God is a matchmaker, and He knows exactly how to match. Whenever you set your eye on God, listen, whenever you set your eye on God and you are looking to God, once the spotlight of God comes on you. Are you listening? And how do you set your eye on God? You set your eye on God by seeking Him, serving Him. So you discover that as you begin to serve Him, I've seen it with ladies. There are some ladies that I've met over the years of pastoring that they will come to me, oh yeah, I'm praying, I need a husband, I need all that. I say, you know what, all you just need to do is just to start serving. Amen. Find God. Just find God. Find yourself and begin to serve God. The moment they begin to serve, they will have like six people that are trying to get married to them. It's like a new season start. The reason is because when you focus on God, the spotlight of God comes on you and people start to see you. And then you have to start saying no to several people because it's not every one of them that is meant for you. I remember when I proposed to my wife, when I told her I wanted to marry her, six guys came. And they came to meet me. I was the pastor. Can you imagine? I was telling my wife that, you know, I think I want to marry you. And then they came to me and that, you know, Pastor, I think I've received the revelation of God. I said, who is the person? They said, it's Debo. I said, okay, go and pray about it. Go and pray very well, you know, see what the Lord will do. In fact, there was a guest minister that came to preach. The guest minister came to preach for us. And then by the time the guest minister left, we discovered that the guest minister had left a letter for for Debo then that, you know, I really love you and I want to marry you. Bessie's my very good friend, you know. He doesn't even know that I saw the letter. But at the same time, because the spotlight of God was upon her. I've seen that happen. Somebody like Peace is experiencing it right now. She's having to say no. That's what happens. Whenever you give yourself to God, you become noticeable. He shines the spotlight on you. So I tell you, there is orchestration. Now that's marital relationship, but other relationships God orchestrates too. He orchestrates friendships, ministry connections. He orchestrates all kinds of relationships, career connections and all that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 68 verse 6, God sets the solitary, or He makes homes for what? For the homeless. He leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves rebels to rot in hell. The KJV says, God sets the solitary in what? In families. God sets the solitary in what? In families. So the person was solitary, was alone. God begins to walk to set you in the midst of a family. God orchestrates divine relationships. Amen. He orchestrates divine relationships. He does that. I studied how Eve came to Adam, and I discovered that many of the words there, God said, it's Genesis 2:18, it is not good that a man should be alone. Just look at all the verbs there. It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him. So I will make. Someone say make. So God said, I'm the one that will create it. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then verse 19 says, and the Lord, you know, God formed. And then, the next verse 20, keep going to where God made him to sleep, you know, that place. He said, and the Lord, you know, caused a deep sleep. God caused. Everybody say, God caused. The first one was make. The second one was form. The third one was caused. God is the causative. He caused a deep sleep. And then he took. And then he closed. Okay? Move on. He closed. And then he made. And then he brought. Are you listening? So you see the activity of God. And I saw it then long time ago, that not only will God, you know, talk to people, move people, and bring, make sure that they are at that state where they can fit into his plans and purposes for his people. He also brings them to you. Amen. He also brings people to you. So that revelation has helped me over the years, that whoever I need to fulfill my destiny will come to me. And I also learned that whoever leaves me in sincerity, I'm telling you this, in sincerity, that means that person was actually meant for that time. Or maybe the person was not meant to be part of it. So these kind of things will help you, you know, to understand that God is an orchestrator. Come on, say God is an orchestrator. So you don't have to struggle. Number 7, the intentionality principle. We're talking about initiating relationship. The intentionality principle, and I have to move fast. Acquaintances may be accidental, but relationships are made and built deliberately. Intentionality may require your positioning or repositioning. So I said, the KJV says in Proverbs 18 verse 24, that anybody who will have friend must show himself what? Friendly. So the showing of yourself friendly is the intentionality of developing relationships. The intentionality, I said, also can mean you need to reposition yourself. So, you want, for example, right now, we are building a network on the west side. So that means I have to go to the west side. Amen? So I'm on the west side twice every week right now, meeting with people and doing it. You have to position. Come on, you have to position. So don't just wait for them to come to you. Sometimes you have to change position. You have to go out intentionally. You have to go network. You have to go. If you are looking for a type of people, there's a place where those kind type of people dwell, right? If you're looking for professional doctors, go join an association of professional doctors. If you are looking for this, you intentionally go there. There are some women that are praying for men, and they're praying to God and say, God, okay, say, but all their company is women. Amen. They don't go to any event that has to do with men. They just go, you know, they're just with their friends. No, you go where the kind of people that you're trying to relate to are. Maybe one of them will just strike your attention, or God, because God works that way. So you must be intentional in building relationships. Don't say, I must be intentional. You seek out mentors, you seek out friends, you seek out, sometimes it costs you money, you travel, you know, you travel. Sometimes I travel from one place to another, pay a lot of money because I want to meet someone who I know God will use to usher a new season into my life. So there's an intentionality that is involved. Okay? Next one, conversion principle. I've already explained all this one last week. Conversion principle simply tells you that, conversion principle says that God sent people often come as strangers or enemies. So learn the process of what? Of conversion. The people that are going to become your closest friends, or people that you're going to marry, or people that are going to become your partners in life and in ministry, they will first of all come to you as strangers. And sometimes they will come to you as enemies, or you know, those who oppose you, antagonists. So you need to be able to learn how to convert. You need to be able to, and the simple way to convert people into friends is what Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2 tells us. It said, don't forget to entertain strangers. Someone say entertain. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. In other words, when you see a stranger come into your life, be like Abraham. Abraham saw some people coming, and he said, Sarah, go and kill the ram. Go and kill this one. The fatted calf. Kill them. And then he made a stew and said, sit down and eat. But they were angels, and they were coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he welcomed them that way. He welcomed messengers of God. Become a person of hospitality. Someone say a person of hospitality. You have only one chance to make a first impression. Are you listening? Only one chance. So when somebody meets me for the first time, when you meet me for the first time and we have a one-on-one, the message you are going to take is that, well, at least that person is nice. Am I not? That person is nice because I will go out of the way to welcome you, to show you that you are important, sit you down. I remember some people came yesterday. They came, you know, from Uganda and all that. In running around, give them this, sit down with them, stop everything I was doing and all that. That's the way you convert strangers into friends. And then you now discover that, wow, those strangers were actually God-sent people that opens up new territories of life to you. But if you are the kind of person that, I don't like talking to new people, you know, and then you walk past somebody new you never met, and you just walk past them, it doesn't matter. You walk past divine appointment. Amen? You walk past divine appointment. The next one, the next principle, the blanket principle. Is somebody getting blessed? The blanket principle, quickly. The blanket principle. Blanket simply means treating everybody the same way. Someone said the same way. You know, like a blanket, you know, so treat everybody the same way. And the same way you must treat everybody honorably. Because you don't know which one is an angel. And because everybody deserves honor. Everyone can teach you. Someone say, everybody can teach me. Everyone is better than you at something. Everybody is better than you at something. So when you meet people, honor people. There's something that they can bring into your life. Amen. Even some people that oppose you, they will teach you patience. Amen. They will teach you love. They will teach you understanding. Even people that have different ideologies than you, they will teach you how to present your case. They will teach you how to disagree without being disagreeable. Are you listening? So that's why you honor everyone. Treat everybody honorably. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Everybody read it after me. Say, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the king. Honor all people. Everybody deserves honor. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23 says, submitting to yourselves. Verse 22. Submit to one. Submit to yourself in the fear of the Lord. Submitting to yourself in the fear of the Lord. Verse 20. Submitting to one another in what? In the fear of what? In the fear of God. Submitting to one another, because everybody can teach you something, right? Everybody can teach you something. You don't know everything. Amen. And you learn more by shutting your mouth than talking. Amen. Choice principle, quickly. Choice principle. You, everybody say you, should decide who will be in your inner circle or who will be your friend. Because these people, not others, because these people will influence you more. And sometimes detrimental relationships must be terminated. The choice principle means that I am not somebody's friend by force. Somebody say amen to that. I'm not forced to be your friend. I'm not forced to be in relationship with you. I have a choice. Someone say, I have a choice. And apart from that, I have a choice to order my relationship. Because, you know, there are levels of relationship. There are inner circle people. Everybody say inner circle people. And then there are people who are, you know, in the outer circle. Everybody has that. Inner circle people are the people that you share your pains. These people you are bear to them. They know everything about you. They do all that. For anybody to get into that with you, that person must have passed some tests. Amen. Are you listening? So it's not that everybody just bear yourself open to, because you don't know. But they already passed some tests. So in my own life, I have people that are in that category. And then I have some other people that have relationship with you. They're in another circle. I love them. So they are circles of relationship. They talked about Jesus Christ. They said Jesus had Peter, James, and John. And he would take Peter, James, and John to the mountain. Amen. And tell them, don't tell the other people about the transfiguration. Then he had the 7, and then he had the 12, and then he had the multitude. Sometimes he would tell some things to the people, the multitude, and he would go and interpret it to the 12. So in other words, there are levels of relationships. It's not everyone that is in that circle. And people move into that circle and out of that circle. You understand? Based on, people have to prove themselves to move. Do you get what I'm saying? With you. It's a choice. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not discrimination. It's a choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way God works too. Amen. It's not favoritism. People move into it. So you need to define your relationship. Who are those people in your inner circle? You should have some people in your inner circle that you can bear yourself, that they know you, they know everything. And you should have other people who are also your friends, but they're not necessarily in the inner circle. That's how Jesus Christ did it. Hallelujah. So please write the scripture down for that. Luke chapter 6 verse 13. Luke 6 verse 13. Let's quickly look at that. Luke 6 verse 13. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. Luke 6 verse 13. It says, when it was day, he called unto him, I would say unto him, his disciples. And of them, listen, you know, the disciples of Jesus were more than 12. Do you know that? He said he called unto him his old disciples. They were plenty. And of them, he chose 12. Whom he also named apostles. So he looked at the whole relationship. He said, let me take 12 people that I'm going to tell more. And then out of the 12, he said, let me take 3 people that I'm going to show more. It's not discrimination. It's choice in relationships. And then the choice also means that if a relationship becomes detrimental to you, you have a right to terminate it. Yes. Amen? Friendship is not by force. Someone say, friendship is not by force. Okay? So these are great principles that will help you. The choice principle. The next one is, so I'm going to go to the next set of, the last set. Those are the ones that you use to harness and to nurture your relationships, you know, so that you get the best out of relationships. So we've talked about what you use in initiating, what the importance of relationships. The next set of principles are relationships that help you to maintain your relationship. The next one is the trade and feed principle. Everybody say trade and feed principle. You could call it trade principle or feed principle. I'm just putting names on them. Amen. And this one simply is, you know, I know there's a lot of word there, but it's simply about interest. Listen, instead of putting others in their places, now you're already in a relationship and you're trying to make it work. Instead of putting others in their places, put yourself in their place. That's trade, right? Trade yourself into their place. If you want people to be genuinely interested in you, be genuinely interested in people. People are primarily seeking the feeling of importance. They gravitate toward those who feed their sense of importance. And they move from those who diminish it. You gain enemies by taking importance from people. But you gain friends by giving what? By giving importance to people. So the trade principle or feed principle means that people are seeking things. Everybody is seeking one thing. They're seeking importance. They're seeking those who will be interested in them, in what they're interested in. So when you give people that, people always move towards you. If you take it from people, people will move away from you. They'll become your enemy. Amen. So you give people importance through appreciation by looking at their interest. If you can focus on other people's interests. You know, Jesus Christ talked about unbelievers in Luke chapter 16. This is a very interesting one. Luke 16 verse 1. He talked about a guy. Look at what this guy did. He said to his disciple, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So this man was wasting his goods. Next verse. Move very fast because I'm going to... go to message. Maybe message will help us. You know, enjoy it more. So because we're going to read a bunch. So he called him and said, what is this I hear about you? You are fired. All I want, and I want a complete audit of your books. The manager said to himself, what am I going to do? I've lost my job as manager. I'm not strong enough for a laboring job, and I'm too proud to beg. Okay. So what's going to be my strategy? Look at the strategy. And I've got a plan. Here's what I'll do. Then when I'm turned out into the street, people will take me into their houses. So the guy knew that people was his answer. Someone say people were his answer. People. He was about to be fired and he knew people. Sometimes we need to start thinking that way, that people are your answers. Amen. From God, you walk in the people. Okay, good. So what did he do? So he went out one after another. He called in the people that were in debt to his master. And he said to the first, how much do you owe the master? He focused on their interest. You. How much do what? Do you owe the master? Everybody that holds debt, what is their primary interest? To get it what? Reduced or what? Eliminated. So the guy focused on the interest of the people. Then he went at it. One after another, he called in the people who were in debt to his master and said to the first, how much do you owe the master? He replied, 100 jugs of olive oil. The manager said, here, take your bill. Sit down. Here, quick, write 50. And I was reduce it. Okay? The next, he said, what do you owe? He answered, 100 sacks of wheat. He said, take your bill. Write it. Write in 80. Now, here's the surprise. The master praised the crooked servant. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Street wise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. Actually, he said, you know, in the KJV, he says, the people of this world has matter than kingdom people because they know how to use relationships. Okay? Politicians, and all, they know how to do it. They are on constant alert looking for angles. Swimming by their what? By their weight. Then Jesus gives us his instruction, verse 9. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival. To concentrate your attention on the bare essentials. So you will live, really live, and not complacently get by on good behavior. Now listen, please play verse 9 for me in another translation of KJV. It says, KJV also, he said, make friends. Everybody say, make friends. For yourselves. By unrighteous mammon. That when you fail, they will receive you into everlasting home. So he was saying that that guy focused on interest of people and used it to develop relationships that were enduring. That will help him. And he's saying, learn from that. Use what you have. So listen, if I'm a pastor, I'm can I share these things with you? Some trade secret. Can I share it with you? I'm a pastor. I use my pastorate to build relationship. There are people that need to preach and to do all that. And they're going to be a blessing. Come preach. The building. I use whatever God has given me to build relationship. That's what Jesus was saying there. Use it because people are more important than things. People are more important than things. Use what you have to develop relationship and you will discover that they will receive you. Amen. Is that clear, everyone? Whew, that was a mouthful. Number 12, the treasure hunt principle. The treasure hunt principle. The treasure hunt principle. You will always find, pay attention, you will always find yourself in relationships with people. Relationships with people. Some of them voluntarily, like your family, voluntary, others involuntary. Involuntary relationship are family. You were born into a family, so you didn't choose them. Amen? Some good, some bad. It is your choice whether the relationships are harnessed for treasures, discontinued, or neglected. Now, this is what this principle is saying. It's simply saying that look around you at the relationship you have. There are treasures inside those relationships. Amen? Someone say there are treasures in the relationships. So, it's your choice is your own choice to find the treasures there and to harness those treasures. 2 Corinthians 4:7, talking about people say we have this treasure in clay vessels, earthen vessels. People are treasures. Please point to your neighbor and say you are a treasure. So when you are in relationship with people, you can either get the treasure in there by choice, amen, or you can throw it away, amen. You can throw it away. People are treasures. Even the person might be imperfect, just like you are imperfect. They might have all kinds of spots, but there's a treasure inside of it. And, you know, the treasure on principle means that you make sure you keep working in those relationships until the treasure comes out. That's why it is very tough for me to give up on relationships. It's based on this principle. It is very tough for me to give up on relationships. In other words, I'm going to see, can the treasure still be honest? It's called grace thinking. You understand? Can it still be honest? Even though things have happened, can it still be honest? Some people have abused me before, said some things about me and all that, and they come back to me. Forget about that. Can the treasure in the relationship still be honest? Because God puts treasure inside of people. And you could either throw it away. And when you throw it away, you lose it. I told you about Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16, that relationships are gains. Matthew 18:16, KJV says, you know, 18 verse 16. If you were not here, take him with you two or more. No, verse 15. Talking about your brother, that if he hears you, you have gained your brother. You have gained. So there's a gain in every relationship. Hallelujah. So even when there are struggles and all that, try and work it out. Talk one by one to one another and get the treasure out. Did you get that, everybody? Number 13. Priority principle. The priority principle. I told you, you're going to have to get a book, listen to this message to get it, but I just want to give it all to you. The priority principle, because I'm shifting to a new message next week. The priority principle says that the quality of your vertical relationship with God influences the success of your horizontal relationships with people. No relationship should become your source. God is your source. God did not put in people, but himself, your fulfillment in life. So listen, everybody say vertical relationship. Horizontal relationship. If you want your horizontal relationships with people to be successful, focus on your vertical relationship with God, right? The more you get closer to God, the better it is, the better you become with people. Amen? Because the fruit of the Spirit will grow inside of you. So many times when people are having problems in relationship, it's because they are disconnected from God. Like they're constantly fighting. One person or two of them are disconnected from God. Get there. Focus on God. It will affect your relationship. And then the other part of that mission is don't try to get from people what only God can give you. Are you listening? Don't try to get. Nobody can give you fulfillment. Nobody can really meet your deepest need in life. If your spouse or your boyfriend or whatever will start and you say, you know what, you meet my deepest need. He's lying. She's lying. Nobody can meet your deepest needs. Only God can meet your deepest needs. There's a God-shaped hole inside of man that only God can fill. You try to fill it with something else, then it doesn't fit. Are you listening? Only God. So that's why the priority, that's why I call it the priority principle. The priority in every relationship is that everyone involved in the relationship is focused on seeking God. And not seeking to receive from one another, but seeking God and seeking the God aspect of that relationship. If you will seek the God aspect of that relationship, if you will seek God, you will find out that the relationship will work better. Number 14, center principle. I'll finish quickly. Center principle. The world doesn't revolve around you. Everybody say, the world doesn't revolve around me. Earth's population, with one exception, consists of others. Until you connect with others, you see the whole world as you see it. Believe me, it is a one-man limited view. So you are, with one exception, the population of the world consists of others. So the center is, what is the center of your life? If you are self-centered, like everything is centered around you, you will not be able to develop great relationships. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, every man should look out. Everybody read with me. One, two, go. Let each of you do what? Not only for what? But also for what? But the interests of others. Don't make yourself the center of the relationship. Don't make yourself, oh, what I can get in every relationship. It won't work. Let others be the center. Shift the center from yourself. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. So that's the center principle. Start to try to see things from other people's perspective. Try, when you get into a relation, try to see, how can I transfer the center from myself to them? How can I transfer the center from, you have better relationships that way. Praise God. 15, seed principle. Seed principle. Give into a relationship what you want from it. Can I get a witness here? You will reap what you sow somewhere, sometime. If you help as many people as possible get what they want in life, you will get everything you want in life. This is a library. Please, someone play the keyboard. This is a liberating principle. Everybody say liberating principle. Believe me, it works. If you help as many people as possible get what they want in life, you will get everything you want in life. So simply the question you ask when you get into a relationship with people is, how can I help you? What's your passion? What's your dream? What are your dreams? How can I contribute to that? Don't focus on, okay, now I want to share my dream with you to see whether you can join me. You already failed. Step number one. This is it. It's great that we are meeting. What really makes you tick? What is it that you are passionate about? What about you? Maybe we'll be able to collaborate with that. And when you do that, to enough people, you will get all you want in life. Hallelujah. You will get all you want out of life. That's the seed principle. Jesus said, give Luke 6:31, do unto others what you like them to do unto you. And there's this very powerful scripture in the Message, Proverbs 11:24. Proverbs 11:24, because you just focus on giving into relationships. Message says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Everybody say larger and larger. And I've seen it. Your network continues to increase. Your goodwill continues to increase. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So if you see people that their walls are so small that they are eating, it's because they are not generous. They're not generous with their appreciation. They're not generous with focusing on other people. If you start focusing on people's needs and focusing on that, your world becomes larger. And when your world becomes larger, people come into that room to help you with your own destiny. Your goal is to expand your world by being a blessing to people. And you will see. Okay? Is that clear, everybody? The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And those who help others are helped. Those who help others are helped. It's not possible. If you keep helping others, you will help. A pipe that is passing out water can never complain of thirst. So flow. Let it flow. Everybody say, let it flow. Let generosity flow. Find out where somebody else is going. Get out of your world. Your world becomes too small when you are thinking about yourself all the time. Get out of your world. Get out of your problem. Oh, my problem, my issues, my this and I. Get out of it. Find out about other people. That world will expand and blast that thing out of the way. That's the easiest way to get out of depression. Take your eyes off yourself and put it on. That's the easiest way to get out of, you know, self-pity, pity parties and all those things. That's the easiest way. Take your eyes off yourself and find somebody else who is going through what you are going through and contribute to their life. Do something to them. Your world expands. Some people who are so thin. God help you if you are married to somebody whose world is so thin, because the person will keep wanting to drag you into that thin world. Amen. Expand your world and you will both have room, so what? To expand. 16. Life blood principle. The life blood principle. Simply, communication is the life blood of every relationship. It must keep flowing. Without it, relationships wane and die. Timing, tone, and content must be mastered. And another word for communication is what? Everybody say it. Say it, shout it out loud. What's another word for communication? Communication is not necessarily talking. Are you listening? Communication is what? Mainly listening. Listening. James 1:19. So listen, my beloved brethren. Let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to replace. Message. Message translation. Post this at all the intersections. Dear friend, lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue and let anger struggle along in the rear. So your hair first. Someone say my hair first. Hearing. Take time to listen. So communication, because when you're talking, we're not hearing each other. Amen. My wife and I were talking yesterday. We were just talking. And I were talking. Like, so I say something and she's like, she didn't hear what I said. She heard it another way. I said, I'm not. No, what you just heard right now, it wasn't what I was saying. Then she said something to me, and I added another way, and she said, what you just heard right now, it's not what I was saying. So, and then the question, no, you got to listen. Just be quiet and just listen and say, what is this person truly saying? And I don't know, couples, you've gone through that. What is this person saying? Let me listen to what is the, you know, in communication, there's the concept and the precept. You get it? There's the core concept. The core concept is what the person is trying to say. For example, the person can say, I love you, right? I love you. That's what the person is trying to say. And then the person says, you know what? I want to serve you. I want to do this. No, it's not I want to serve you that the person is saying. It's not I want to do this. I love you is the main concept. So in the same way, when we're communicating, there is a core concept that we miss. We don't listen very carefully. Amen. So we got to listen. We got to be slow to speak. And then we got to keep the communication flowing. Whenever communication dies, relationship begins to die. You know, how many of you have some friends in high school that you're not in relationship with anymore? How did he die? You stop communicating. How many of you have some active friendship? How did he die? How does it remain active? Because we are communicating. So that's why I love all these tools like text messages and Facebook and all that, because it helps you to keep communication alive. Amen. And then so we listen. We're rounding up. Trust principle. I talked about that last week, so I'm not going to. The foundation of relationship is trust. It's like a bank account. It is easier emptied than filled. So trust and trustworthiness in relationship. Log principle. I talked about that last week. Others are less the problem in relationships. Focus on changing the man in the mirror first. That's Matthew 7:5. Why do you look at the log in your brother? The mote in your brother's eye, while you do not see the speck. Sorry, the plank or log in your own eye. First, remove the log from your own eye or the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove from your brother. In other words, you think that the other people in relationship with you are the problem. No, you are the problem. You are the problem. Whatever gets into your heart is your responsibility. Whatever stays in your heart is your responsibility. You have to deal with yourself. Amen. And let God deal with the other person. Are you getting what I'm saying? You first of all deal with your relationship. You mirror what you think about people. If you have impure thoughts about people, that's what you see. Everything they do, you see around that. If you have nice thoughts about people, even when they make mistakes, what do you see? You excuse them. Do you get what I'm saying? So watch what is inside of you, because you are going to interpret what people do based on what is inside of you. And that's why Jesus said the first thing you got to do is to deal with what is in you first. Deal with yourself in the relationship so that you can see clearly to be able to deal with the other people. Hallelujah. Proactivity principle. Don't let other people's action dictate your reactions. Let principle dictate your what? Your actions. Let principles dictate your actions. Romans 12:20. In other words, whenever you react to people, you give them power over you. You get it? They come to say, this person did something to you, and they used to, he did that to me! He did that to me! You cannot talk to me about it another way! I'm going to... You know what just happened? The person just took control of you. You just lost yourself. But they say, this person did that to me, and talked about me, and did all that. You know? You did that? You did that? All right. That's fine. And I'm telling you, you can build yourself to that point where you can react that way. Because people are going to tell you, people say, oh, somebody called me and they talk about me and did all that. I don't give people control over myself. Amen. And that's why arguments sometimes, just stop it. Because the moment you lose yourself, you're arguing, you are giving control over. So sometimes we don't lose control, but watch it. Proactivity means that I do what I choose to do to you, not what you tell me to do to you. That's what proactivity principle means. Be proactive in your relationship. It's make your choice on what you want to do and let them act whatever they want to have, but don't be a reactor. Be an actor. Hallelujah. Number 20, the cover principle. Relationships that will work. Well, I gave you Romans 12:20 for that, right? If your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. Now, normally, if your enemy is hungry, what are you supposed to do? Starve him. If he's thirsty, what do you do? But he said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. If he's naked, give him clothes. In other words, don't react to people. Don't react to people. You do what you have been told to do by love. And let God. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Number 20, cover principle. Relationships that work. Don't give attention to every fault. Everybody say, relationship that work. Don't give attention to every fault. Love covers many faults. To her, he's human. Faulty relationships don't necessarily have to be dysfunctional relationships. Every relationship has a fault. Everybody has a fault. And some of those faults you got to learn to live with. Amen. And some of them you just have to cover it up. You don't have to repeat every fault. 1 Peter 5:8. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will do what? Cover what? A multitude of sins. In other words, it's not everything. There are some things I know, about people and all that I know. But it doesn't mean that I have to repeat it or tell somebody. Sometimes you have to cover. Sometimes you have to cover. Especially when it's addressed, you cover. Love covers it. Love protects. Love protects. Let's protect one another. People, all of us have faults. We all have faults. We all have faults. But it's not supposed to be repeated. You don't want your fault to be repeated all over the place, right? Do you? Then give others the same benefit of the doubt. Cover them. Protect them. Pray for them. And do all that. That's the cover principle. Amen. Love makes up practically for anything. 21. The faith principle. We have one more after this. That was the faith principle. Believing the best of people brings out the best in people. Or at least, it keeps you sane. Because, I mean, if you are the kind of person that think that people are bad, amen? Someone, everybody is out to get you. You can be insane, amen? You can turn insane, but believe the best of people. You can bring out the best in people. And at least, even if that doesn't happen, it keeps you sane. Trust people until they give you enough reasons not to. Even then, find an excuse for them. Hallelujah. Find an excuse. And the greatest excuse that you can give them is what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, even when people were killing him, he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Everybody acts at the level of their knowledge. Are you listening? Everybody acts at the level of their knowledge. If they don't know, they will act that way. It's what they know that they do. So that's the greatest excuse. You know what? They're acting that way because that's how far that they know. You can also give them this excuse. If I was in their case and or what I knew is what they know and I came from where they come from, I might perform worse. So that's a way you can excuse people. Finally, number 22. The peacemaker principle. I was saying the peacemaker principle. Let's rise up on our feet. The peacemaker principle. And let's read it together. 1, 2, let's go. No. 1, 2, let's go. Conflict-free relationship. To make war. To make peace. Confront unresolved issues with the aim of achieving harmony. Sometimes you have to let go for peace. Then expect the peacemaker's reward. There are no conflict-free relationships. There are no conflict-free churches. There are no conflict-free marriages. There are no conflict-free anything. Anything that involves humans, there will be some conflict. There will be conflicting thoughts, conflicting emotions, conflicting interpretations. In fact, there will be people that they will rub you the wrong way. It is all part of life. It's all part of growth. It's all part of how God builds us up. Now, but what do you do when conflicts arise? What do you do? The peacemaker principle tells you that whenever conflict continually arises, you have the right to make war. Everybody say make war. With the goal of making peace. Let me tell you what it means to make war, to make peace. I heard that you did this thing to me. You are just you alone. I heard you did this to me. And I'm really angry about it. In fact, you are angry. I don't like it. Let's talk about it. You know, whatever. And then you are making war, right? Your eyes might be red. You are doing all that. But your goal is peace. Amen. And then, I didn't mean it that way. You meant it. That's how you did it last time. And all that. Okay. And then you talk it through. Your goal is to make peace. Amen. You talk it through so that peace can come. Rather than for you to just let it be, right? Let it just be there. And then you are thinking this in one corner. You are talking about that person to another person. And you never get together to talk about it. That is what is called strife. Amen. Forgiveness is one of the peacemaker principles. Forgiveness means that somebody truly offended you and you feel the offense. But then you rise above that because you have the love of God in your heart. You confront the issue and you let go of it. Then what happens is that you receive the peacemaker reward. I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. Verse 40. If anyone wants to see you and take your undershirt, let him have your coat also. And everyone forces you to go 1 mile. Go with him 2 miles. give to him who keeps begging from you and do not turn away from him who will borrow at interest from you. You know, Jesus was teaching us something. He was telling us something. You know what? That when some people do things to you, usually what you think about is that I got to do something back to them. He said, part of confrontation of offenses, part of confronting of offenses, the first one, listen, the first way you could confront offenses is by what? Do you get it? By making yourself vulnerable in the offense. Do you get what I'm saying? When somebody slaps you and you say, you make yourself vulnerable in the offense. Vulnerable not because God will allow the person to slap you again. No. Vulnerable because you are saying God will hold the hand of that person when the person is about to slap you the second time. What Jesus is saying is that instead of you fighting your battle for yourself, let me fight the battle for you. We are so used to defending ourselves. You get it? And trying to fight for ourselves. No, he said, no, that's not the way I want you to go. Let me be your defender. Let me be your fighter. That's what he was talking about there. And then, of course, Matthew 18 says, if your brother offend you, what should you do? Go and meet him or her and discuss the issue. If the person listens, you have been, that's how you confront things. Talk to people on their own. And if they don't hear you, bring some other witness into it. Confront these things. Forgive people. Romans 12:18, the last one. If possible, as far as it depends on you, what should you do? Live at peace with what? With everyone. As far as it is in you. Confront issues. For example, maybe there are people in this place that you have something against. You have something, you know, they did something or they said something. Confront them. Call them. Sit down and discuss issues. It's painful to discuss some of these issues. It's painful to bring it up and bring them. But the pain, the fact that the pain is there means that it is still attached to your psyche. It means that it is still affecting you. It is still there. When you talk about it, you take the pain out of it and then you can be able to deal with the issues. So bring things out. Bring it out. This is it. Don't, you see, when you hold things down, you hold things within yourself, you shorten your life. Amen. You shorten your life when you just keep holding things. You know, it's either you release it and say, you know, I'm not, that's it, I'm fine. But if you are still not fine, you get what I'm saying? If you are still not fine and you are still talking about it and thinking about it, get the person to sit down with the person and talk about it. Let the pain come out so that you can be free. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. So I hope with this, you know, you've gotten something great. Amen. How many of you got something that you can use? You got something that you can use? The book is going to be out very soon. Amen. Please read it and spread it. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to thank God for the great relationships that God has placed around us.